If you have fibers in your diet, it passes slowly through the stomach, but additionally you create layers in your stomach, and thereby you're compartmentalizing your stomach, so your volume is as large, but the pH is mostly produced in the bottom. And because you have layers on top of that, the pH, the H plus stays in the bottom, and the bottom really drops in pH. Therefore, it's better antibacterial, your digestion works better, and on top of that, basically, you've got that other function, storage.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com. Kemin invites you to optimize swine health and nutrition. Dive in at Kemin.com/swine. DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers. Barnes is your trusted partner for Colon Plus FC, enzymes, yeast products, and macro minerals. To learn more, visit barnes-na.com/animal-nutrition.
Welcome to the Swine Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, where we explore the science behind swine nutrition. I'm your host, Jorge Estrada. And today in our podcast, we have Dr. Marco Demick, who is a senior consultant in swine nutrition in the Netherlands. We will be discussing piglet nutrition, enhancing gastrointestinal health for a strong start. Dr. Demick, welcome to the podcast, and thanks for joining us today. Before we dive into today's topic, could you please give us a brief introduction of yourself?
Well, as already said, my name is Marco Demick. I'm working in the swine industry for over a decade. I've been a local nutritionist, I've been an international nutritionist, and now I work for Schotters Feed Research, and we are a research and consultancy firm specialized on animal nutrition, and my department is for swine.
Excellent. Well, again, thanks for joining us today, and we're glad to have you here. So, early nutrition and gastrointestinal health, right? I mean, that's a complex relationship to understand. Around weaning, let's talk about that. Let's start there. What are the biggest challenges of weaning when it comes to intestinal health?
I think that one of the things which is so different is, of course, the nutrients from milk to feed. We are all aware of that. But there is also one major aspect, really a physical aspect, which is different. When milk comes into the stomach, that creates a cloth, and therefore it only passes through to the intestine when the digestion at stomach level is basically optimal. And only then it's broken down and it continues. That's not the case for complete feed. So there we already start with that physical problem. We can look at the nutrients and see that it's so much better digestible in case of milk. But mostly that physical aspect, that's where it's really important to really focus on stomach health and stomach digestion, because that's so different in piglets before and after weaning.
Excellent. So, and continuing kind of on that same topic, then when we talk about, there is a lot of information out there saying, you know, talk about gut health, right? And that's kind of a loose term out there, but how does the stomach actually contribute to the intestinal health? You know, how can we support this through nutrition?
If you focus first at the function of the stomach, is storage of the feed, it is start of digestion, and thirdly, it is the bacterial barrier, the first barrier to kill bacteria. Those three things are important. So storage, digestion, and antibacterial effect. So it all starts there. And in terms of storage, what we try to achieve is to have feed flow through the intestine on a really slow and controlled pace. Because if we can do that in a controlled manner, the intestine has enough time to digest. And if it's properly digested, it will not flow into the large intestine. And thereby, harmful bacteria cannot start with protein fermentation and so on. So that's the first. So for storage, our goal is really to get a slow passage through the intestinal tract. Then we've got digestion, of course. Well, the protein digestion with pepsin, you need to start that. And otherwise, the whole cascade later on is hampered. So also there, that's more on a nutrient level rather than on a physical volume level. That's important. And the third part with the aspect of antibacterial effect, you really see that the pH needs to be low, at least below 4, but still with piglet diets, it's in such young animals, it's really hard to get the pH so low. And therefore, how to manage that? You can play with physical form of feed, for example, with particle size. There you see that how do you present the diet to a piglet? That's a really important topic. So these aspects are already important, why stomach health really relates to intestinal health.
Excellent. And as we are aware, there are some technologies out there to potentially manipulate some of that process, right? So in that sense, with your experience, if we talk about like maybe prebiotics or ingredients, which of them might be more effective in promoting some of that gastrointestinal health?
Yeah. Well, if you look at fiber, you can actually take two aspects in there. You have either the fermentable fiber, which are indeed also the prebiotics, but also the inert fiber. And I think that last part, the inert fiber, is something we do not focus on as much as we should. We mostly talk about prebiotics, probiotics, nowadays even postbiotics, but the inert fiber, that's a really important topic. And we have done quite some research in that field. And we see now that adding inert fiber to your diet in a coarse particle size, that really stimulates, on one hand, it stimulates the stomach health. It makes sure that the passage rate through the intestine is really subtle and is you balance that. That's on one hand. But on the other hand, the risk of fermentable fiber and prebiotics is if you overdose the level of prebiotics or the level of fibers in your diet, in the large intestine, these produce a lot of volatile fatty acids. And if they are absorbed, perfect, no problem at all. But with piglets, if the balance is not optimal, then you see that fermentation in the colon also creates a lot of production of volatile fatty acids. If these are not absorbed in a quick manner, you will see that they attract water. Well, that's diarrhea. If you attract water to the large intestine, if that's not absorbed well, you get this diarrhea problem. So you're asking about prebiotics. Can you work that? Yes, of course. You can manipulate the balance in your microflora, so it can really help. But I rather focus at the inert carbohydrates. And then we talk about ingredients like oat hulls, wheat bran. And we've done quite some studies also in the correlation with E. coli and how that's diminished if you use these ingredients.
Feed formulation software is stuck in the past. Most tools haven't evolved beyond basic least cost optimization. A Diet Forge changes that. It's an AI-powered platform with nonlinear ingredient modeling for enzymes and additives, cost per gain and maximum profit optimization, and real-time collaboration like Google Docs for nutrition. Every recommendation is grounded in world-class research, built for modern nutritionists who need more than legacy desktop software can deliver. Work seamlessly with your team and optimize the way modern operations demand. Try DietForge.ai free today. Feed formulation, finally modernized.
So basically what you're, if I understand when you're saying Can you explain a little bit more on what you mean with inert fiber? I mean, what kind of fiber is that, and how's that helping the pig, you know, to balance a little bit of what you just discussed?
If you take one step higher than fiber, you've got your carbohydrates, and you can diversify them in three categories. You've got first got your digestible starch and sugars, then that's absorbed in the small intestine. Then the rest of it goes to the large intestine, and that's the fiber part. And the fiber part then has two fractions. It's either fermented by bacteria in your large intestine, and of course also in the cecum, but mostly we combine that as large intestine. And there, that's the fermentable part. Then the last group, that's the inert carbohydrates, they are excreted and they are in the feces. So basically, from an energetic point of view, they don't make sense. They don't contribute to any energy which can be absorbed. So from that perspective, they are useless. But really from a functional perspective, from a perspective of intestinal health, then they really add value. And they add extra value if you can add them to your diet in a coarse manner. And when I talk about coarse, we talk about particles of 1 to 2 millimeters. We're not talking about 2-3 centimeters. We're talking about piglets. We're not talking about cows. So it's only small particles, 1 to 2 millimeters. But generally, all our diets are smaller than 1 millimeter, all our particles in our diets. So thereby, the inert particles are those who are excreted, and they have a functional, really health beneficial effect in mostly also your stomach, because it increases retention time. And that's another thing which I have not mentioned, and I'm thinking now that might be valuable as well. If you have fibers in your diet, it passes slowly through the stomach, but additionally you create layers in your stomach, and thereby you're compartmentalizing your stomach, so your volume is as large, but the pH is mostly produced in the bottom, and because you have layers on top of that, the pH, the H plus, stays in the bottom, and the bottom really drops in pH. Therefore, it's better antibacterial, your digestion works better. And on top of that, basically, you've got that other function, storage. The storage is then separate by those fibers laying in the stomach. And thereby, you have that effect. So inert fibers, and are especially at stomach level, having this beneficial effect.
No, that's excellent. And This is definitely a fascinating topic, and thanks for sharing that with us today. Unfortunately, that's all the time that we have today, but this is something that the way that you explain it a little bit is easier for us to understand. So, Dr. Demick, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, everyone, thanks for listening to the Swine Nutrition Black Belt Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us some comments. Join us for our next episode.